Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KDK Pittsburgh, listen to what we started.
This is KDKA.
Of the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company.
The future really did begin here. The world's first scheduled broadcast was made from Westinghouse's
KDKA.
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 Listen as we share 100 years of KDKA radio.
Climb aboard our magic carpet for a montage of memories. Radio's finest hour.
Someplace special.
I'm Angino. Thank you very much for tuning in to KDKA Radio. Tonight, as we celebrate 100 years, we go back to November the 2nd, 1985, for the 65th anniversary show. And what a great show it was. Of course, we go all the way back to the earliest broadcast and that first broadcast of the Harding Cox election results of November the 2nd, 1920. But we're also going to learn about the relevance of KDK and what it meant to people as they were going through the Great Depression and then World War II, how radio was able to face its first great challenge in television in the 50s, and then ultimately what radio has turned into for KDKA as being the dominant force and voice in news and in talk. We go back now to Mike Pintek as he hosted that 65th anniversary show on KDKA Radio, November the 2nd, 1985.
He arranged with the Hamilton Music Store of Wilkinsburg to supply records in exchange for announcements of the store's name. Thus, the Hamilton Music Store became the world's first radio advertiser. H.P. Davis, Westinghouse vice president, soon realized that a real radio industry lay in the manufacture of home receivers, and regular radio programs would make people want to own such receivers. Thus, a license was secured, and election night, 1920, was selected for the first regular broadcast.
Some 30 million Americans are electing a president of the United States, a vice president, 34 United States.
After that first broadcast, there were many other KDKA firsts to come, spurred by an ambitious programming policy maintained by KDKA to this day. The plan called for programs of interest to the greatest number, distinctive feature programs scheduled at regular times, daily radio service, avoidance of monotony, and all of these promises led KDKA to break new ground.
The first thing we did was the Sunday morning services at the Calvary Episcopal Church in Pittsburgh. And in order to operate the switches, we had to have a point where we could see what was going on. So we put the switchboard in the choir. In order to be in the choir, we had to wear the choir robes. And I alternated with Jack Fraser, who was the head of the telephone department, who was a Catholic, and myself. I'm Jewish, so we were in an Episcopal church. And sometimes when we were there, we'd sing along with the choir.
That January 1921 church broadcast also marked the world's first remote pickup. In fact, 1921 was a year of many firsts, including the hiring of the world's first full-time radio announcer.
I heard they were building this transmitting station, and I went up to see it just through curiosity. And while I was up there, I found out that they were looking for a regular announcer. And I said, well, I'd like to try that. So they let me try it, and apparently I was satisfactory. So I thought I'd do that for every few days or a few weeks, and it ended up I was there 5 years.
Harold W. Arlen also helped write the early history of sports broadcasting when, on August 5, 1921, he first broadcast a Forbes Field match between the Pirates and the Phillies.
To me, it was just like watching a regular ball game and announcing what happened. If we had known that we were really starting a history, we'd have made some notes.
Did you broadcast the play-by-play like they do today, or was it different?
No, we do it pretty much like they do today, except we didn't have all the statistics.
The Pirates won the game 8-5. It was here that listeners first heard a World Heavyweight Championship fight. KDKA first carried tennis play-by-play, the Davis Cup matches of 1921. And it was here that KDKA listeners heard the world's first radio World Series, the Yankees and Giants from the Polo Grounds. Football play-by-play was born on KDKA when we aired the Pitt-West Virginia gridiron match on October 8, 1921. Pitt won it, 21-13. There were dozens more breakthroughs from the world's pioneer station, but the story of radio was just beginning. Our programming policies were beginning to cause some growing pains.
As you know, we just had a little shack up on the... and only played phonograph music. So in order to get live entertainment, we built a studio right next to the radio station.
The rooftop tent studio in East Pittsburgh caused some early problems for the performers, as Harold Arlen recalls.
This soprano soloist came out all dressed up in evening clothes. She looked beautiful. But right in the middle of her song, a Pennsylvania train went by and blew a great cloud of smoke and soot all over her hair, her face, and her dress. She just kept on singing through the smoke and soot and finally finished her song.
Early KDKA fans still recall the whistle of that passing freight train, which became a regular 8:30 p.m. feature no matter what the program. Our early radio schedule kept expanding. A program schedule of 1922, edited by Leo Rosenberg, lists a regular church program, the Uncle Wiggily bedtime stories for the kids, regular hourly news, weather, and announcements of the correct time. The KDKA Little Symphony Orchestra was the first of many musical groups on the station. By now, all of radio was growing fast. More than 500 broadcast stations were licensed in 1922. Meanwhile, in the Westinghouse laboratories, Dr. Conrad and others were still busy developing technology to bring the world such marvels as radar, FM radio, and television, and shortwave radio. Soon, a shortwave radio transmitter joined the KDKA transmitter on the East Pittsburgh rooftop, and the new equipment carried the programs worldwide. It wasn't long before KDKA inaugurated our famed Far North service. The Far North service was for many years the one personal connection to civilization for hundreds of missionaries, traders, Canadian Mounted Police, and others.
Good evening. This is Bill Beale welcoming you once again to the regular Saturday evening program of Messages to the Far North. Well, here's tonight's first letter. It's to Alfred Cargill, Hudson's Bay Post at Moose Factory, James Bay, from your brother in Denver, Colorado. Alf, you will be happy to hear that Tom has pulled through the operation fine.
1925 marked the creation of national broadcasting networks, and KDKA joined the National Broadcasting Company as a member of the Blue Network. Coast to coast, radio entertainers were becoming household words. Billy Jones and Ernie Hare were two early radio singing stars heard on KDKA.
How do you do, everybody? How do you do? Gee, it's great to say hello to all of you. I'm Billy Jones.
I'm Ernie Hare.
We're the interwoven pair. How do you do?
In 1928, KDKA moved its studios into the William Penn Hotel. Rudy Valley, Eddie Cantor, Paul Whiteman, and many more all were heard on KDKA. And as radio's first decade came to a close, radio had become the cheerful friend during the dark days of the Depression, as the collapse of vaudeville created the new radio vaudeville era.
evening, friends, family. I mean gang. I mean, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. This is Station OUCH of the New Writers Broadcast.
As radio became more sophisticated, so did the commercials. Singing commercials became much more common.
Pepsi Cola, it's the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi Cola is the drink for you.
Have you tried Wheaties?
J-E-L-L-O!
Tasty yeast is tempting to your appetite. Creamy, wholesome candy, try a luscious bite. You will see them growing stronger every day. Taking yeast is dandy, handy candy way.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Mangino. Thank you very much for tuning in. In this segment, we learn about those early news reports and reporters, radio shows that filled our imagination, coverage of World War II from updates from the front line to leading efforts to win the war right here at home. Once again, here's Mike Pintek.
In 1934, KDKA moved to new spacious studios in Pittsburgh's Grant Building. Evenings on KDKA featured the shows on the National Broadcasting Company network. The radio medium continued to demonstrate its superiority as a means of instantaneous news coverage, as heard in this famous 1930s eyewitness report of the Hindenburg disaster.
Just enough to keep it from burst into flames.
Get away, get out of the way. Get it started, get it started. It's flying and it's crashing. It's crashing terrible. Oh, my, get out of the way, please. It's burning and bursting into flames and it's falling on the mooring fast and all the folks between that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world.
One famous radio news reporter began his career at KDKA just a few years earlier.
Now, Lowell Thomas.
Good evening, everybody, and thanks a lot, Hugh. I appreciated it all the more because another DuPont Award was made at the same time, given to what the committee considered the high-powered radio station that had done the most outstanding work for the past year. That station, KDKA, where I had my very first broadcasting experience just 21 years ago.
In 1933, a national banking crisis led the president to use radio's intimate form of communication to talk to the nation. FDR's fireside chats were the forerunners of today's weekly radio addresses by President Reagan.
Let me assert my firm belief
that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
But KDKA Radio's biggest test was to come in 1936, when the Great Pittsburgh Flood forced the station to move from the Grant Building to emergency studios atop a hill while broadcasting went
Pittsburgh,
on.
Pittsburgh, the heart of the metropolitan area that houses millions of people, is now living in the midst of conditions that have suddenly shoved the entire community back to horse and buggy days. We saw our usually peaceful and picturesque rivers, the Allegheny, Monongahela, and Ohio, suddenly changed to ugly, swirling, muddy monsters.
1937 marked the 17th anniversary of KDKA Radio. The station noted the event with a special broadcast from the William Penn Hotel that dramatically demonstrated how quickly radio had advanced in just a few years.
At this moment, we are going to duplicate briefly a typical broadcast of those early days. You, our guests of the air, and our many guests here in the urban room of the William Penn Hotel in Pittsburgh are witness to this. As a small group of musicians, familiar to those who listened 17 years ago, play Avalon, a hit melody of 1920, and play it over the very same carbon microphones used on those initial broadcasts.
Engineering progress has outdated the 1920 microphone from which I am now speaking. Radio has made giant strides forward. In sharp contrast with the Avalon of 1920, played by the eight-piece group, comes the Avalon of 1937, with 60 of Pittsburgh's finest musicians under the leadership of Dr. Frank Black, musical director of the National Broadcasting Company. You hear it through the most modern of radio equipment.
All of radio was entering a new era, the era of big network radio shows. Coast-to-coast radio was growing, and the crystal set and wireless telephone of the 20s had given way to the big friendly Philco, RCA, or Westinghouse radio in the family room. Evening was radio time, when listeners across the country would gather in front of the glowing dial for their favorite shows. And it's because of radio's power to enlist the imagination that many of yesteryear's radio programs remain fresher in the memory than last year's television shows.
Tampa Bay Detective Agency.
Guiding light. Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you lead me to?
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
Hello, Silver! Hello!
Lux presents...
Bob broadcasting from...
Grand Central Theater.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Captain Midnight!
Who knows what evil?
Yes, it was a golden age of entertainment, and the 30s ended with the promise of great things to come. But overseas, there were rumblings that would soon explode into world conflict.
Berlin. Adolf Hitler has warned the League that if sanctions are invoked against Italy, Germany will not observe them. Germany, which has given up membership...
December 7th, 1941, arrived much too soon.
Have attacked Pearl Harbor.
A date which will live in infamy.
America was at war, and here in Pittsburgh, the home front did its part.
A big 18-ounce can of V8 vegetable juices takes only 2 ration points.
You know, my husband's in a munitions factory now, and he gets his work shirts extra greasy.
Well, my wife says Mrs. Davis down the road has lots of wartime workers to wash, too.
We've had another week of air war. The greatest air war that the world has yet seen.
Every bulletin meant more information from over there, and the war left little untouched. KDKA's far north host, Bill Beale, explained.
I can remember being called into the manager's office with the previous week's letters and concern on his face, and somebody was there from, I suppose it was the FBI. Later, they said that they were being used by the Nazis to send messages to their cohorts in America.
Slim Bryant recalls those years.
I do remember the good old days when KDKA went to the bond rallies and all the public service work they did to help the government raise money, sew war bonds. All the KDKA staff with Bernie Armstrong and his group and Mary Martha Bryant and the Kinder sisters and Buzz and Bill and Faye Parker.
As usual, KDKA listeners were there when the need was great. During World War II, KDKA sold our listeners over $1 million in war bonds, both by huge outdoor bond wagon rallies and over the air to listeners in 31 states via mail order. Pittsburghers did their part and stayed by their radios. Listeners appreciated radio's ability to deliver instantaneous news of the battles overseas. But finally, the end of the war was in sight as radio bulletins came on a daily basis.
It is evident to us here in the NBC newsroom that the first phase of the invasion has been carried
and
through.
All Pittsburgh celebrated as Japan surrendered. KDKA's On the Street reporter tried to describe the event over the noise of the celebration.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're celebrating, all Pittsburgh is celebrating, the end of the war in the Pacific. We're down here at 4th and Grant, trying to get the various opinions from the folks walking by. Everyone seems to be in town, and I'm not kidding.
The war was finally over, and the country got about the business of getting back to life as normal. Radio got back to the job of entertaining and informing as radio's entertainers returned from the front.
Good evening, anybody. Here's more.
Would you like to be
Henry Daddy?
Oh, what is it?
Faster than a speeding bullet.
While in a song be a style you score.
Mr. Anthony, are you ready for your first case?
Quite ready.
Eastern wartime. The Japanese have accepted our terms fully.
Gangbusters.
There was lots to do and see, and in Pittsburgh, that included Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. Those returning GIs couldn't wait to hear Rosie Rosewell.
Any day, there goes one, you don't need a raise, oh, and that many. There it goes, clear out over the scoreboard.
Over into Shenley Park, a round tripper for Ralph Kiner's first of the 1948 season.
Oh, did he?
Let's hope that it's the first.
Bob Prince was one of those who helped Rosie with his special effects.
Rosie was the fellow that, if you knew his expressions, and they certainly did in Pittsburgh, they loved him very much. He was sort of the Edgar Guest of the baseball. Get up there, Aunt Minnie, raise the window, and the old dipsy doodle, and get up and put a handkerchief on his head. Of course, I had to stand up there with a tray full of cowbells and glass and everything, and he'd blow the whistle, and he'd say, get up there, Aunt Minnie, and raise the window, and he'd blow the whistle, and he'd nod his head, and I'd drop the tray full of bologna, and all the debris go all over the studio, and then that sounded like breaking glass, and then he said, she never made it. Tripped over the garden hose. She never made it. A round tripper for Ralph Kiner.
Al Marsico's orchestra, Harry McCluskey and the Shag Level Cider Hounds, Bernie Armstrong and the KDKA Orchestra. These were just some of the musical groups on KDKA during the time.
For the orchestra selection tonight, Al Marsico has chosen Humoresque.
Evenings on KDKA featured live entertainment shows with studio audiences. Jeannie Baxter was a vocalist.
Maurice Patoni led the band on, I think it was Tuesday night for Fort Pitt there. And I was on Friday night with Bernie Armstrong, who was the leader, for Duquesne Beer. Of course, Paul Shannon was the announcer, and Mary Martha Briney, Maurice Patoni, and the Kinder Sisters.
It's tap time!
I was on for Iron City Beer. Bill Hines was on for Fort Pitt. And Bernie Armstrong and the KDK Orchestra was on for Duquesne Beer. And they were the three half-hour shows in the evening.
Gypsy's love is like a melody, full of fire, my desire for you.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we started.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
I'm Mangino. Radio's first great challenge was television. The shows that once dominated radio quickly went to TV. And stations like KDKA had to figure out what they were going to do moving forward. And it was music and DJs that came to KDKA Radio, like Reach Kordick and Kordick & Company, Party Line with Ed and Wendy King, and callers who never were ultimately heard. And then the Pirates with Bob Prince with The Call. Here's more with Mike Pintek on KDKA Radio.
Soon, radio's dominance would be challenged by a rowdy newcomer. Ironically, thanks to Westinghouse developments in the lab, television was quickly becoming a significant challenge to radio. Families with a strange new box in their living rooms became host to entire neighborhoods as folks gathered before the flickering tube to see Uncle Milty or another popular show on the black and white screen.
Oh, well, howdy, Duty Kids, and howdy, Buffalo Bob.
Well, howdy, Mr. Duty, and boys and girls at home and kids in the gallery, let's go!
But strangely, radio welcomed the competitor, as KDKA's Bill Steinbach recalls.
It was an amazing thing to hear radio stations advertising television shows that were going to be on the air that night. Somebody had failed to realize that at that point, anyhow, television and radio were deadly competitors.
It was a new challenge for KDKA Radio and for the radio industry. The world was changing again, and soon, so would radio. In Pittsburgh, the new WDTV, Channel 2, signed on in 1949. And in every household, the big radio sets in the family room were replaced by the big television sets. And radios moved into the kitchen, the bedroom, the car. Radio became portable. And instead of listeners coming to the radio, radio went to where the listeners were. And radio went to where the news was happening, too.
The decision was made that perhaps it might be nice if you had the voice of the newsmaker on the air. Well, you needed a portable recorder to do that. Well, we had them in those days. They were called cup quarters. They were the size of a small suitcase. They were reel-to-reel recorders, not cassette types as we have now.
During the early 50s, KDKA brought our listeners reports such as this broadcast from the scene of a mine shaft collapse.
Okay, Mike, start the drill.
Davey, are your legs through the...
During the decade of the 50s, KDKA and its staff made a bold move to adapt to the changing world of radio. It was 30 years ago when KDKA broke from the network and started fully independent broadcasts from our Pittsburgh studios. Gone were the radio soap operas and drama shows. A new young group of men with names like Reg Cordick, Art Palin, and others came to KDKA, and the music was changing too.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
KDKA moved to our brand new Gateway Center facilities, joined by our new sister station, no longer WDTV, but with a new name, KDKA TV2. KDKA radio personalities became KDKA TV personalities. Ed Chauncey recalls how his Uncle Ed nickname came to be.
And I'd say, come on, sit in Uncle Ed's lap, or not you, Grandma, with just the kids. And they began to call me Uncle Ed. And that's where it happened on television, you see.
It was 1954, and Reg Cordick took over.
Well, there was Carl Hardman, Bob Trow, and marvelous engineer Bill Steffen, and a number of other people, Sterling Yates, Charlie Swords, and Bob McCulley did a lot of the writing. And we'd get together two or three times a week in the afternoons to record pieces that were then used on subsequent shows.
Say, gang, here's something you hear everyone saying these days, no matter where you are.
At the baseball game.
Well, sure, I'd love to wear Bermuda shorts, but my knees are too bony.
In the operating room.
Yes, doctor, I'd love to wear Bermuda shorts, but my knees are so bony.
Cordick and Company, forerunners of today's K-Team. Well, the same thing happened to the pioneering souls at the Cordick and Company Research Labs, and that's what led to their great invention,
Bermuda knees.
With each of the characters, I was always the straight man. I enjoy being a straight man. And with each of the characters, I had a different attitude. For instance, since you mentioned Carmen Monoxide, he was a punster. And my attitude toward Carmen was that he bored me to tears. You know, just leave me alone.
Well, good morning, Carmen. My, you're looking very effervescent.
Well, Reed, did you ever see me when I ever wasn't?
Boy, oh boy, that's going back a few years, isn't it, Carm?
I'll say, Ree. Oh, speaking of going back, Ree,
yeah.
Do you remember a kid we went to school with by the name of Nutsy Hergerberger?
Nutsy Hergerberger. Wasn't he the one that sat behind Norina Franciscina in Miss Stremenauer's homeroom?
No, no, no. You're thinking of Milton Butter.
Well, how about that?
Bob Trow talked about his voice characterizations with Cordick and Company.
Well, we wrote 3 days and recorded 2.
You were the voice of Carbon Monoxide, Max the Golf Pro, Broomhilda. Can you still do Broomhilda?
Oh, yes. I'll do it. Well, Brunhilde was had a fat lady's lodge, and he had to be 350 to 720 pounds to belong to it.
'Cause you'll never get rid of them, no matter what you do. Oh, you'll never get rid of them, no matter what you do.
Once again, we repeat, the football game scheduled for this afternoon between Pitt and Penn State has been canceled because of the snow. Here at KDKA, our emergency phone staff has been snowed under, too, with a staggering list of various social events that have been canceled, and it continues to come down. Now, here's the Ames Brothers' newest recording. The 50s also brought a fondly remembered show to KDKA listeners, Party Line, with Ed and Wendy King.
Wendy, the interesting and unusual thing about the program was the fact that the callers that you had on this talk show program never went on the air.
Yes, well, that was well planned and well thought out and stuck to, because we felt that that way we could use a lot more of the audience's imagination.
From 1951 to 1971, Partyliners listened faithfully to the show.
And you see, we had some really strong personalities with us, too. people like Sterling Yates and Tom Bender and Adam Lynch and Paul Long and Al McDowell. Bill Burns stopped in once in a while.
Meanwhile, Bob Prince was up in the booth calling it as he saw it.
Anything that Jim and I have witnessed in this season absolutely at this moment pales into insignificance. And we've had some thumpers. Here's the windup and the 1-2 pitch to Burdett. Foul off to the right out of play. And Burdett has shortened up the grip on that bat and is trying to really hang in there. And don't forget, he also is quite a threat at the long ball. Two men down. Last half of the ninth inning. No score. I can't repeat it enough. The 1-2 pitch. Stuck him out swinging. Haddock's pitch is a perfect nine-inning, no-hit, no-run game.
Art Palin came to the station in 1956.
And with all the fuss that was in the newspapers, the letters to the editor and the various columns, Ed Chauncey talked to his audience, and he said, "Listen, here's a young man I've known for a long time, so give the guy a break, will you?"
Right, you want to tell him
I
about
sure
do, you?
Reg, I sure
go
do.
Go ahead, into the microphone. Huh?
Hi there, this is your pal Palin. How are you getting along with your records today, Herman, old fella? Say, I've got some real big news for all you people. News that I'm sure will mean good listening for all of you KDKA fans. Now, for some time, Ridge and Bob Tracy and I have been...
There were other famous names on KDKA. Bob Tracy, Clark Race, and Sterling Yates.
Big K, KDKA, is growing bigger every day. We thought that you would like to know.
Celebrating 100 years.
Listen to what we start.
KDKA Radio with Robert Mangino.
KDK Radio now is known for being news and talk, but it's not always been that way. In this segment, you'll learn how that transition began. Once again, here's Mike Pintek.
Bill Steinbach joined the KDKA Radio newsroom.
Well, right here at KDK, as a matter of fact, is where broadcast journalism, I think, had its roots, as we know it today, with people on the street covering stories, that sort of thing.
Another reporter at KDKA was Mike Levine, who lugged his mobile recording equipment to wherever the news was happening. Mike had been a reporter at the old Pittsburgh Sun-Telegraph, but quickly adapted to radio news. The sight of Mike with his equipment earned him the moniker Mike Levine and his talking machine. Eventually, Mike Levine moved on to a new form of radio, telephone talk, where you could actually hear the caller. 1960 brought a World Series to Pittsburgh.
And the Yankees have tied the game in the top of the ninth inning. Well, a little while ago, when we mentioned that this one, in typical fashion, was going right to the wire, little did we know. Art Ditmar throws. Here's a swing and a high fly ball going deep to left. They do it. Back to the wall goes Vera. It is over the fence. Home run. The Pirates win.
The 60s brought the Beatles to Pittsburgh and KDKA.
She loves you, yeah.
Pittsburgh Airport. The plane has taxied into position. The steps, the ramp is coming down. I can see a fairly good line of sight view of the stairs. I guess I don't have to tell you, there they are. There's the Beatles.
Today's KDKA program schedule found its roots in these years.
Then a decision was made that maybe we ought to do a bona fide half-hour newscast, and we did it at 6 o'clock every evening. And it was 30 at 6. We decided it might be wise to back it up a half an hour, so we began to have news from 5:30 until 6, and it became 30 to 6. Then somebody decided that an hour would be better than a half an hour, and it became 60 to 6. And then somebody decided 90 minutes would be better than an hour, and we went to 90 to 6.
Listeners will remember the familiar sound of KDKA News during those years.
The 11 o'clock news has been presented by Revlon Incorporated, makers of those three famous products, Top Brass Grooming Aids for Men, Tintex Fabric Dyes, and Esquire Shoe Polishes. Portions of the news pre-recorded. This is Jim White, KDKA News.
We're going to hear from the Singing Nun in just a few seconds here on KDKA Radio.
From
the Art Palin Show.
Here's the time.
It's 1:33, and here is the Singing Nun and Dominique.
We interrupt this program with a bulletin from Dallas, Texas. President Kennedy has been shot. We repeat, a bulletin from Dallas, Texas. President Kennedy has been shot. The United Press says an unknown sniper fired at the presidential motorcade in Dallas, wounding President Kennedy, perhaps seriously.
The bulletin came over. It was a flash that came over the wires. And they ran into the studio and they announced that President Kennedy had been shot. We did not know at that moment whether he was dead or whether how serious the wounds were or a wound was. And it was shock. And they came through with immediate follow-ups on bulletins.
And the 60s brought more changes to KDKA Radio. Reg Kordick moved toward new opportunities.
I had an opportunity to come out here to KNX, CBS Radio, and that wasn't quite as much fun as KDKA was, and I think I had just burned myself out, really, in the years.
Sterling Yates had created a new form of Sunday morning radio show, carried on today by our own Trish Beatty. Sterling Yates' final Sunday morning show on KDKA.
Well, sir, now Eddie Arnold said there it's got to be getting time.
And it has got to be getting time. I could go from now to 5 o'clock, really, and thank all the people who have been so kind and cooperative and have helped me. And,
KDKA celebrated our Golden Jubilee 50th anniversary in 1970.
This is Jack Benny wishing KDKA happy birthday on their 39th year of broadcasting. And anybody who says KDKA is 50 years old is lying. They wouldn't dare start without me.
KDKA Pittsburgh. Listen to what we started.
From the Gateway Center in the heart of the Golden Triangle in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh, this is Steve Allen asking the musical question. How's your client? Seriously, congratulations on KDKA's Golden Jubilee.
And there were more changes for KDKA listeners. Ed and Wendy King's party line signed off in 1971. And John Cigna came to KDKA as the new 9 to midnight talk host.
The other place I worked at, across the street, which I won't mention any callers, WJAS, they were changing from their talk and news and sports format to rock. And I didn't want to work there. So I was going to go out to California and work in San Francisco. I didn't have any job, but I figured I could get a job in San Francisco. When Alan Mitchell, who was then the program manager here, called me in March and asked me if I'd like to come over here and work. And I said, you know, Alan, that would be great because my kids aren't out of school yet. If I could work at KDK till June, this was March of 73, till June, that's beautiful. I won't have to pull them out of school, and then I can go to San Francisco. That was 1973, and I'm still here. I asked Alan Mitchell what kind of a talk show he wanted to do. And he says, you know, I'm really not sure. He says, why don't you just be you?
Perry Marshall had been filling in for talk show host Jack Wheeler, but soon Perry became full-time.
Jack Wheeler, who did the all-night show, was going on vacation for a few weeks and asked if I'd like to sit in. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? Why not? So I came over and we talked, and I said, what do you want me to do? He said, oh, there's a whole stack of albums in there. He said, play music, do whatever you want to do. I said, wait a minute, it's a talk show, isn't it? He said, well, yes. He said, have you ever done a talk show? I said, no. He said, do you know how? I said, I don't know. He said, you want to try it? I said, sure. He said, okay, go ahead and talk. And that was the beginning of Perry Marshall Talk Show Host.
Perry Marshall, 1020 KDKA Pittsburgh.
Names like Jim Horn, the Little Round Devil, Joel Zell, and Terry McGovern were familiar ones to KDKA listeners as these personalities became well-known during the era. In 1975, Roy Fox replaced Mike Levine, and the Fox's Den came to KDKA radio.
I had heard through the grapevine that Ira Apple at KD was my kind of person and was looking for somebody to replace Mike Levine, so I sent a tape. And he invited me out for a couple of days, putting me up in the penthouse basement apartments at the Hilton Hotel. Let me pay all of my own expenses. He was my kind of guy, and we got along fabulously.
It was in the 70s that Pittsburgh really became someplace special.
Heron Hill, Church Hill, Squirrel Hill, North Hills, Penn Hills, South Hills, Pleasant Hills, East Hills, North Side, South Side, Shady Side, and Troy Hill. Avalon, Ambridge, Homewood, Hazelwood, Brentwood, Brushton, Dormont, Westview, Holiday Park, Bellevue, and Dorseyville.
This is the Fox. Wherever I go around the Pittsburgh area, people come up and talk about me and the rest of the people here at the station and what we do at KDK for the rest of Pittsburgh. But you know, I've worked at a lot of places, a lot of big cities, a lot of big radio stations and good talent, and it just doesn't come together. I think the key to the whole mystery is because of people like you.
KDK Pittsburgh, because of people like you.
KDKA brought a new symbol to someplace special, a rainbow. And a new mobile studio called the Incredible Rainbow Machine allowed us to take our studio anywhere. Quite an improvement over that makeshift shack in East Pittsburgh that we used in 1920.
What a great story of KDKA Radio's history. But it's only the first 65 years. We've made history for 35 more as we're getting ready to celebrate 100 years. Thank you so much for listening and enjoying these shows. Remember, you can always take advantage of the Rewind feature. If you download the radio.com app, you can listen to this broadcast anytime you want to over the next 24 hours and share it with your friends. And you'll be able to also download podcasts of these broadcasts as well at our website, kdkradio.com. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday night at 8. I'm Angino, KDK Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.